has arrived.
And I don't know, is this Val or Cynthia? Or someone else? Yeah. You're welcome, whoever you are. All right, so we're on the PDF file, page 249, which we're reading before we read the chapter.
Are we going to do the draw first, though?
Let's do the draw.
Okay, the draw has been done. here we go. Wait till you see this draw. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For the first position, Four of Wands, completion. Second position, the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Third position, the Emperor.
Now, wait a minute. Oh, the second position was the Moon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moon and Water, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Air, the third position is the Emperor. And in Earth, nine...
Hold up.
Excuse me?
Emperor.
Emperor, yes.
And that's it.
Oh, who's coming in?
Has arrived.
Who's arrived?
Cynthia.
Oh, okay. Fourth position, Nine of Swords, cruelty. I'll go over these positions again. First position is Four of Wands, completion. Second position is the Moon.
That's water.
Mm-hmm. Water and water, right. Third position is the Emperor. And fourth position is the Nine of Swords, cruelty.
And that's Earth, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fifth position.
Following your Gnostic belief system.
Okay. Seven of Discs, failure, is the hidden motivation. That's position five. Position six above is Two of Wands, dominion. Then we have the Arc of Influence. The seventh position is Seven of Wands, valor. The eighth position is Three of Wands, virtue.
I'm getting all hot with all these wands.
Yeah. And ninth position is the Five of Swords, defeat.
Wow. So nobody can make it through death, huh?
Mm-hmm. Five of Swords, what was its attribute again?
Five of Swords is defeat.
Valor and virtue, and we still end up with defeat. How about that?
And the outcome was dominion, right?
Yes, dominion. Mm-hmm.
The hidden influence was failure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And we have gone through 66 of the cards have shown up.
Wow.
Now, I hope everyone... I've kept all the JPEGs of the cards, so I'm sure we're going to have some fun with some sort of analysis later on.
Yeah.
After we complete the series.
Do you want to send, or can someone send us just the spreads? Can we access just the spreads for ourselves as you've printed them out? In other words, print them out from the site with just the spread?
That's up to Paul. Paul?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I'm saying, can we, if we're going to do an analysis of the spreads for Promethea, can we, is there a way to access just the spreads?
You mean on my site?
Sure.
Yeah, it is there.
They're there, yeah.
They're there,
right? No, I know that they're there, but are they there separate from everything else.
In other words, do I have a list of them separate from everyone?
Yeah.
No, you have to go down through the list. I have a
Fine. That's okay. That's all right. I just wanted to know what was ahead.
We haven't been drawing them ahead. Like, this one will not be posted until maybe later today or tomorrow.
Oh, no, that's all right. Because what I'm saying is, if we're going to do an analysis, we would need all the spreads.
Well, we could put them in a PDF, since
we could do is we could do something like that. We could put them all together.
I mean, that's if there's an interest in doing that when we get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there'll be a big PDF. Then just upload it to the server, Paul, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know how people are going to download it, but I mean, how big can a PDF?
I have no idea.
Download anything you want as long as your system will take it.
As long as you've got the bandwidth and the memory for it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that the Promethea PDF is a huge PDF, isn't it?
Yes, it
pretty
is.
Big, yeah, it is. It's 400 or 500 pages with lots of
films. Yeah, so then it should be no problem. I think it's about 70 megabytes, this PDF that we're looking at. If I remember, I'll let you know.
By the way, I want to let everybody know that Val is listening to us. I believe she is on Skype, but we cannot hear her. So she can't talk. So she is going to be the hidden presence of Asmodeus or whatever.
The hidden motivation, Val.
We're slightly going out of sync today. We're going to page before we read the chapter, and I guess you want to reprise your role as Promethea Sophia, Cynthia.
Oh God, I hope I'm up for it. Sure, I'll try.
I'll be Boo Boo.
I've had a weird morning.
Fight over which one of you wants to be the Lucille Ball and Bruegel, the two FBI agents who are giving Stacy a hard time, and also the David. You want to do the Marv and the other. Those guys, the five angry men, the five swell guys.
Five angry men. Chapter five. Let me get oriented. Are we up to chapter five?
Yes.
Okay. No, chapter six.
Chapter six.
Oh, it is chapter
six. Yes. Yeah, well, five was last.
Chapter eight.
Where I'd have to go.
Chapter, mm-hmm. 18.
18. Book 18.
Oh. The last one in the book.
Okay.
Oh, well, that is chapter.
Oh, yeah, chapter 18. It says so under here. Okay, fine.
Oh, wait a minute.
Red player.
Am I lost? It is gold, right?
No, we're past gold. We're into red.
Oh,
red player.
Yeah, you missed gold, dear.
Yeah,
you missed Trefarrant.
But I've read here. Okay.
We're reading Alan Moore's interview with Dave Sims. And from Serbia, number 218. This is on the PDF 249. That's the I guess since I'm the one that insists on reading it, I'll read the thing.
It's Val again.
Has arrived.
Hey, Val.
Oh, hi, Val.
Thank God.
We may get you for a part yet, Val. You wait and see. You can be agent Lucille Ball and Bruegel, the FBI agent.
That's quite a combination.
Put your tough on, yeah. All right, so here we are, page 249, the PDF.
Has left the conference.
Oh,
who was that?
I don't know.
Oh, that was my other phone leaving the conference.
Okay. We're going crazy. In and out.
I know I called like three times. Oh, my God.
All right, this is from Servius 218.
Okay.
After my initial apparent experience with non-ordinary states and early... Well, actually, I want to put this a little more context before we start. If we go to page with Asmodeus, and here's the sigil for Asmodea.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this Arthur magazine, which discusses the same thing with Alan Moore interview. But it's very, very similar to what we're going to read in the other interview, so I didn't think we should necessarily read them both. But notice that Marceau does New Descending a Staircase,
mm-hmm.
where you are seeing different stages of movement at once.
Mm-hmm.
He has an experience with this when he sees Asmodeus. And the reason I bring this up is that a number of my own visionary experiences also have had visual things that have no physical analog.
Right.
And of course, in his other things, he also has this mandalic recurrence of the of a spider interfolding in and out of itself. There's an attempt to visualize that, which comes up in the next page, 247. You can also see the spider motif, in which the spider, but also looks like an octopus to a degree, which is in our coloring.
It's right.
Page 14, from 14 and 15, is, and that's about to devour Malkuth, it says. And then we go down to 249, where we are going to read this interview aloud.
Now, what is his purpose in a spider puts out a web, an octopus puts out ink, and
don't try to analyze it yet.
Okay.
You don't have the full thing of it yet, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. After my initial apparent experience from non-ordinary states in the early January of 1994, I went through a superficially similar but subjectively very different seeming experience about a month later, in February of that year. I'll leave out the details, but the upshot was that I found myself seemingly in conversation with an entity that at first identifies itself as one of the Nine Dukes, and then upon closer interrogation as Asmodei. That its body, when I asked it to show me what it looked like, consisted of a shifting and shimmering lattice work of repeated spider motifs, all identical but at different scales. These, while keeping their coloring consistent, appeared to be constantly turning themselves inside out through a spatial dimension that was foreign to me, becoming, on the reverse, a similar shifting lattice. This time, with a reiterated a lizard motif, this would turn itself inside out and become a mesh of spiders again, and so on. As a constant background to this effect, there was a beautiful pattern composed of peacock-tailed eyes. The entire thing was like a 360-degree sphere, or a field of presence that surrounded my head, moving and speaking lucidly to me with a great politeness and charm, it must be said. As with my first experience, other magicians were with me at the time, although not the same people. I remarked to one of them at the time, when I was apparently speaking to the supposed entity, that it seemed to me that the creature's body was actually a sort of display, since a physical body would clearly have been completely redundant. I wondered if the bodies of such creatures aren't more in the nature of icons that people use to represent themselves when surfing the net. Perhaps the perceived forms were more like compound symbols, characters in an unknown language which were meant to impart a kind of nonverbal information to us. At that moment, it struck me that the entity I had appeared to be seeing was conveying to me several things by its apparent form. Firstly, it was highly skilled in mathematics and in visual arts that pertain to mathematics. Secondly, it had at least one more spatial dimension to play with than I did, and it seemed to take an almost smug delight in pointing this fact out to me. There was a quality of likable vanity that seemed to imply that the emotional range in entity was not vastly different than that of a human being. This was this has not been the case with some of the other species of imaginary creature that I like to imagine I've encountered and thus seem worth noting. Days later, after the experience, I did some research to see what I could find relating to the demon Asmodai, or Asmodeus as he is often known. It seems that Asmodeus is considered to be the patron demon of mathematics and handicraft, which fit in with my general perception of a creature, but proved nothing one way or the other. There was also some fascinating material on this particular demon's ability to grant an Asmodeus fright, where the magicians will be plucked up into the air by the demon and allowed to fly over his own town. On looking down, the demon-born conjurer would see all the houses below and the roofs, and so the occupants inside could be seen going about their lives. This was a fascinating, compelling medieval image, but again, didn't seem to signify much. Asmodeus is also mentioned in a vision of the Catholic Saint Francesca Romana, and there is an Asmodeus who's shown to her as a demon of lust and gluttony. I just wanted to share that with you because, one, this stuff is kind of important to him, and there is, we are dealing with some of the more militant aspects of Gebera at this time with Mars.
As appropriately, the cards seem to have indicated that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look at all that fire.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. And fire. This is a purificatory fire. After you've gone into this transmutation of gold, this is a purificatory fire. Basically, what this is doing is it's trying to clean you out of conceits of egotism is, might be the easiest way to put it.
So you're saying there's a positive connotation to Asmodeus.
Well, that comes through in the story.
Definitely. But I'm saying objectively speaking.
I think the next thing to do is to read the story with this in mind, and also our the cards we drew in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we will see how it unfolds. So we are on chapter 6, Life on Mars. Promethea.
And I'm taking over this whole page. Now, who's the woman?
One is Agent Bruegel, and the other one is Agent, they introduced themselves. And let's see, this guy over here is, he's one of the five swell guy superheroes, I think. And they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Who's down the staircase?
Yeah, the evil eight and the five swell guys all unconscious out in front of the mayor's office.
Some
situation in there. Looks like you better send. Hey, this Jellyhead, two guys. Look to find. Can we get a wetback over here? And then.
He says, "Sorry, lady."
So you have to move back. And then the weeping gorilla. Why are you so bitter? Okay, Val, if you're here, you can be Agent Ball and Bruegel.
Okay. Sorry, ladies, you'll have to move back. Where?
Okay. Agents Ball and Brugel, federal bureau of investigation. We have an interest in what's happening here. So all these injured science people, any of them up to answering a few questions?
Some of the fellow guys are pretty much discovered, like Marv here.
Marvel William Hamilton, we know about you. Mr. Hamilton, I'm Karen Brugel, FBI. We'd like to look at some pictures if that's possible. Oh, if that's no trouble.
But how's this a federal matter?
We're investigating her, the woman who just whipped you and your junior G-men. Okay, Lucille, I'll handle this. Mr. Hamilton, we know you encountered Promethea. From these photographs, could you tell us which one?
Well, no, it wasn't exactly any of these. I've seen this front one before, but that's not the one who's there with the mayor.
I told you, it's a new one, this green-haired one, and she's got the mayor. This is war.
Promethea, life on Mars.
Great balls of fire. This place means business.
Oh, boo-boo. We're not on Highway 22 anymore. Does that mean we've arrived in...
Yeah, this is the fifth sphere, Gebera. That means strength. It also means effing judgment. Watch yourselves, ladies.
Yeah, we will. This hood looks tough. So out of all the planets, the spheres, like Mars, yeah?
Right, the Warbringer.
Yes, that sounds about right. This whole landscape, it's so angry. Do you know this realm well?
Hey, I'm an angel, okay? We're angry all the effing time.
What for? What have angels got to make them angry?
Well, you effing people for about 6 billion, but forget anger, okay? That's just the stern part of what this place is all about. It's the judgment that you gotta keep your effing eye on.
But I mean, Mars sort of symbolizes anger?
Nah, you're thinking of Goofy, the planet of tantrums and brawls. Mars is a planet of friggin' war. And that ain't about anger. It's about strategy.
That's for sure.
Cold decisions, cold judgments. Yeah, these flames ain't cold exactly, but they ain't burning us neither. Actually, I think we flip-flopped on that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, don't worry about it. Wait, okay, this is me. Yes, that's like the water in that Venus place. This ain't fire. It just... what fire stands for.
That's right. And here, fire means will. Not human will, but the will that moves the suns and planets. Universal will. Universal fire.
Yes, this place even feels sort of good. Not so much scary as exhilarating, powerful.
Yeah, but it ain't somewhere I can see my Steve visiting. Steve was so placid.
Yeah, plus he was a half-assed wizard, remember? Like I say, they always take this route up to the Godhead.
Why? According to Kabbalah, there's plenty of other routes they could have taken up the Tree of Life.
It's because they're a bunch of effing show-offs treating the Kabbalah like an effing tourist map. They got a do everywhere. See?
Woof! I see what you mean. So this route we're on, you said this was some sort of lightning bolt path.
Yeah, the energy of God crackles down into material existence through these spheres, these numbered stages. Here in Gebera, it's purged of any impurities, anything flawed, anything weak.
And don't forget that last bubble in the bottom.
Okay.
Oh, where she says this is deep?
On the human scale anymore.
Yeah, we ain't on the human. It was actually in the previous panel.
Yeah. Okay. Hell, are they the gods of this place?
They are this place. This place is them. Just like it's Mars and tobacco smoke, the color red, the number 5, gods of war and justice. God's strength hammering the effing iron into everything.
I'm glad they're there. I'm glad the universe has got their power burning in it when there's so much darkness.
Yeah, all the evil there is in this world, all the stuff Prometheus is supposed to end, it's so strong.
Perhaps, but we're stronger.
You're right. We're stronger than anything.
Ladies.
Barbara, when I think of all the scummy injustices hurting people, my wrath is mighty.
Hey, you're talking like effing wrestlers. It's just this place. It's Rush.
No people are starved, poisoned, and massacred.
Your anger is righteous.
Aye, no matter what stone evil hides beneath, I shall find it, and my fury wither it to nothing.
No, don't get angry.
Let it go.
Let it go. Gabora's affecting you. It's like effing adrenaline.
And dark shall not prevail against my rage.
Remember your judgment or your law.
Sophie, what just happened? We were climbing and that hillside, and then we got mad out of nowhere, and where the hell are we?
I don't know. I'm still angry, but it's not that sort of angry, horny anymore. Now it's angry scared. We're someplace bad.
You're in the world of shells. You're in the black bark of the other side of the tree. You're where I live. I am the demon reaching cause. Asmodeus.
World of shells. Oh, God, Barbara, we're in the Klipot. It's the adverse tree of life. It's like spiritual antimatter.
Oh, Jesus, Sophie, we saw Asmodeus before. He didn't look like that.
I do not look like anything. I am wrathful forever in red. My hate is beetles in your womb. I will devour you.
Enough! Oh, God! Oh, there's stuff crawling inside me. Oh, you fat, stupid. B-I-T-C-H.
Oh, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
Bragging in your anger, pissing in your wretchedness.
I hate myself. Fat old woman, I hate myself so much.
Get off, let go, or I'll kill you. Get off of me.
Scorned her mother, ignored her husband. Ugly and worthless, squirming in the muck.
Oh, no, Barbara, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm just trash. That's all I am. I'm just trash.
You let me down. You said you knew all about magic, and you led us to this. You ignorant little bitch.
Yes, you hurt everyone.
I didn't. I didn't hurt anybody. Why are you doing this to us?
Well, what am I saying? You only came here to help me. I called you a bitch.
Well, we hurt everyone. Tricked Grace, tricked Stacia. They're suffering right now.
I didn't trick them. They're not suffering. You're lying. You're lying all about this. You're not even Asmodeus. He had three heads and rode a dragon.
Demons cannot die. We are more than one identity. More than one place. As for your friends, see.
Who's doing the other Prometheus? The great Flash Stacia Prometheus.
Val, if you're still with us, you want to do Stacia?
Barbara? Sophie? Wally, I can hardly hear you. Tell me you're all right.
Grace? Jesus, Grace, is that you?
Grace, as Imodius has us, we're trapped in the cliplots of Gabura, and we can't get out. We're...
Ourself in the skylit place is broken contact. Oh, pity now, we can't watch your comrades being tortured. We know what y'all are thinking. You're thinking that was an illusion to demoralize me. You're lying, except we can't lie.
You stinking little DD. And all you've done is anger me. Has it occurred to you that I can banish you by simply killing your host body?
Has it occurred to you that we might be what we want? Death of a blameless mentally ill man?
Hello?
Oh boy.
I seem to have something stuck in my mouth. Yeah. You know what they say there. Better out than in.
Nelly little monster, Solomon the gangster who conjured you, he died before you could be banished. That's why you're all still here, isn't it?
Something like that. Perhaps you could try banishing us with that impressive ritual sword. Or alternatively, just keep slashing at us. A sharp lump of metal against the eternal evil within mankind. You all know it might work.
Hey, which way are we going? Down?
Yeah.
Down. Yeah. You know, darling, you're absolutely right. How silly of me to think I need a sword against you when all I need is the intelligence it symbolizes. Let's start with demons. Just what are you, psychotic little weevils? I mean, really?
We are hell. We are that which delights in the ruin of humanity.
I'm sure you are, Poppet, and you're the eternal evil within mankind. Didn't you say? It's the within part that interests me. You're part of us somehow, aren't you?
Even assuming that's true. We are clearly a part of you that you cannot control.
No, we can't. Not until we stop pretending that you're some focus outside us, causing all the harm in the world. Not until we're prepared to own you.
Oh, on us? That does not...
Owning you, darling. It's the opposite of disowning you, pretending you're not part of us. You, for example, that vapors apart, you cause turbulence, you kill men cruelly. I've done that. I accept you, Vepar. I own you.
No! Don't!
Not very palatable or easy to swallow, but then the worst bits of us never are. Are they, dear heart? Well, who's entree?
Eat you, Asmodai. You now.
Wow.
So I think somebody really echoing painfully.
Wait, what's going on?
Somebody's got a feedback.
Okay, who's on speakerphone?
I'm not on speakerphone.
No speakerphone here.
No, I'm not here.
Are you still hearing it?
Just keep reading.
Okay.
It's actually pretty creepy, I think.
He was surrounded by devils. Where's Grace? She was surrounded by devils. Then the pictures vanished. She's dead, isn't she? Grace, Stacy, they're both dead.
Sophie, this thing, it's chewing on our emotions. God, I hate it. I hate it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill this effing thing once and for all.
Oh, no, no. No, Barbara. You were right. It eats emotion. And I think it likes anger best.
Sophie, it's scum demons. They're effing scum. They're filth. They.
No, Barbara, no. Hate, no fear, no anger. It just chews that stuff up and feeds it back to us. Lord, as Asmodeus, we've trespassed here and treated you without respect. Forgive us.
That's better. In fact, that's much better.
Sophie, he's...
David, it's David.
Has arrived.
You reflect us somehow, don't you?
Human, but of course. Approach us with fear, with hatred, revulsion, and we will be fearsome, hateful, and vile. Approach us humanly and with respect, and we will be human and respectful. The motives of the gods are fathomable, whereas we demons rage and cheat and bellow. We're like you. Very much so. Very much closer to you than the gods, for example.
What about love? Can you love?
Yes, in our way. In ancient Persia, I loved a human princess. Afraid of me, however, she married a mortal. I killed him on their wedding night, and the next husband, and the next seven in all. Seven tombs for seven grooms. And the story is in the biblical Apocrypha, in the book of Tobit.
Wow.
I imagine it now. It came to be associated with anger and wrath.
Anger is Grace's weakness, the woman you showed us. Is she okay?
Oh, yes. She finally learned to swallow her anger along with everything else.
My legs, they turned me into a slug. They...
Everybody's in shock, and the number two on the wall, I think those are demon signatures.
Yeah, this is some fancy crap. Karen, the mayor's office is ahead. Let's check it out.
Are they grown, the nasty monsters gone away?
Bedad, and weren't they some devils now?
Look, there she is. She's getting away.
Okay, lady, freeze. Agent Ball and Bruegel, FBI. We want to ask you some questions about Dennis Brucker.
Damn.
And so, you see, once she's eaten all the demons, including me, she just flew away.
Good. I'm glad Grace and Stassi are okay.
But how can Asmodia be there and here at once? And where's here, anyway? What's a cliff off?
Like the gods or angels or humans, for that matter, demons have many identities. We are Leech, and that Quiplith is the generally understood as hells, although the word means husks or shells. It's what remains once the sacred energy in things has departed. The sacred energy is meaning. When the meaning is a thing moves on, that thing becomes a husk. Beauty without meaning becomes hollow. Pride, stern judgment without the judgment becomes empty rage. Becomes a husk, a shell, a quibble. Becomes me. Naturally, am I evil? In antique Persia, did I not love?
If clipped off the husk, left when good people depart, does that mean evil isn't a real thing in itself, or just an absence of good, like dark, an absence of light?
Now, who's this?
Naturally, am I not evil?
Yeah. And I think the next, I think that's Boo Boo coming back in.
Okay.
Killing seven of your girlfriend's fiancés and sending her nuts isn't called love. It's called stalking. They finally drove him into Egypt by burning incense and fish livers. He tell you that?
Humph. Perhaps I wanted to visit Egypt. Did you ever think of that? Or don't holy guardian angels ever take holidays?
Barbara?
No. Boo, boo! You found us!
I am you, you effing dope. I see how you worked out how to handle my learned effing friend over there.
Your friend?
Friend is perhaps a little strong.
Hey, effing you, brimstone boy. We're all part of the same thing, ain't we? It's just I'm partying in the penthouse while you molest first graders in the boiler room. You just got stuck with the dirtiest job is all. You ain't so bad.
Look, if we're such good pals, why don't we just fuck?
You're not kidding, are you? You really like him.
Hey, let me tell you something. All of us, we can only see in others what we recognize from ourselves, okay? Now, I'm an angel. We look at life and that's all we see, man. Angel.
So you think the best of everybody because that's what's in you?
Yeah, but what about demons? What do they think when they look at life?
We think the angels are running a scam. That's what we're doing. Farewell, women. Have a safe return to the fifth sphere. Show your faces here again, and I'll rape you with burning marlin spikes.
Demons, man, you gotta love them.
Deborah, we're back. Look, we're sorry about getting lost like that.
Forget it. You were tested, and you came through. You weren't effing destroyed or nothing. That's the nature of this place. That's what life on Mars is all about. It ain't that the universe is cruel or unkind, it's just that it can't afford to get sentimental. That's why the judgment has to be stern. The energies at work and everything, they gotta be pure, nothing unworthy, no crap. Gabora's where the world gets the F beaten out of it.
Is it okay to say that it sort of gets me hot? I mean, I ain't into violent sex or anything, but all these raging volcanoes and Soulja Boy atmosphere. Ha ha, yeah, tell ya, you guys ain't been around. I done jumped on.
No, wait a minute, that's me.
Oh,
I
see.
Up there. So, under atmosphere, you say it really...
It really does it for me, you know?
Yeah, I tell you guys, you guys hadn't been around, I'd have jumped on effing Asmodee's lap. Done him then and there, man.
Boo-boo. Oh, no, that's you.
What? He'd be pretty effing cute. He did something about that effing, if he did something about that effing breath, man. Besides, this place is about sex as much as anything. See? Strength. We don't only use it for fight. Know what I'm saying? Gabura's any decisive activity. That's why tobacco is its perfume, because it's a stimulant, see?
Yes, I guess it's just I never really connected judgment with feeling horny before.
Yeah, well, maybe if you had, you'd have been more picky who you laid. No. As for connecting strength with lust, it's only natural, man. Take this tarot path we're walking on, for example. It's both of them.
I understand this path's tarot name was strength. Then Crowley changed it to lust.
That broad riding the lion looks pretty wild. What's she supposed to symbolize? Or is it just advertising rolling rock and roll or something?
She's got two meanings. See, this path connects Sphere 5, strength, with Sphere 4, mercy. Considered one way, she's some drunk hoe riding an effing line. It's strength, but it's amoral. Considered another, that cup means compassion. She's tempering judgment with mercy. It's where we're headed, girlfriend. Straight to mercy. Straight into the blue.
Next, the fatherland.
Ta-da.
Thank you, everybody. That was a very interesting and preternatural reading of sound effects unintended.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
You know, Mom, that was pretty cool, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Did we figure out where that was coming from?
No one wants to fess up to having a speakerphone on, or was it truly?
Well, it may not have been a speakerphone, but it was some kind of feedback thing.
But is David still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I thought you had left and then come back. I didn't know if maybe that corrected the problem or what. But
maybe come back up.
Maybe it was supposed to be. Maybe it was coming from the office.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, boy, I can't tell you the synchronicity for this chapter in my morning.
Really?
Man, I was deceived.
Remember, this is being recorded.
Oh, that's true. I won't go into anything personal. Just saying it was rather a pedantic lesson.
Uh-huh.
I was
did you have to swallow a lot of stuff there, Cynthia?
Pardon me?
Did you swallow a lot of stuff?
Yeah, and anger, you know?
Yep.
That whole thing.
Okay, here we go. Let's now go to the cards and see how they relate.
I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I'm worn out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember, you see, one of the things, too, in terms of the Tree of Life is that we're in the... we're out of the stuff that serves the ego, that serves embodiment, and we're going into the stuff that comes sort of where embodiment is an impediment.
Yeah.
And part of the needing to merge or accept your shadow side, which is partly what this was doing for you, there's a little more stuff with shadow side.
Yeah, we're moving up the tree. We're moving from the bottom of the tree, the roots. We moved up to into the trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
At this point, and we're getting the purification through Gevura.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of our demon.
It seems to be pretty specific to anger in this case.
Yeah, we're getting rid of our personal demons.
Yeah, anger, hatred. Yes,
right.
All of the so-called negative emotions, you know.
I think it's interesting, in the Tarot of the Masters by James Wycliffe, he calls 15 demons rather than the devil.
Yeah, because
it's
not one entity, it's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of entities,
yeah.
Right.
We are legion, exactly.
So let's look at the elemental four there. And see how this is a path that kind of represents what may have been going on in this chapter. We've got the Four of Wands completion as fire, the initiated thing.
So we have fire and fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also as completion, four is steady. So what we're having here is this is sort of like, be like tempering the gold. You know, you have pure gold. And one of the ways you temper it is you pour it into a mold.
Yeah.
And make it into a ring, you make it into something. And there's a that's partly what may be happening at one level. And then moon for the water, which is of course moon is a water sign, but a major arcana. So it shows you that we are dealing with the mutability of our views of things, both of what is good and what is evil, and that we often carry with us projections of the shadow. In other words, we're more likely to project shadow than we are to project light.
And I think it's also representative of stepping into the unknown. And by that, I don't necessarily mean things that aren't known by anybody, but things that aren't known within ourselves, things our ego doesn't know. For instance, that anger is us. We are anger. That, you know, the whole projection kind of... I'm putting this badly, but hopefully you guys know what I'm saying. It's on an egotistical level, we don't know that the evil in the world is projected by ourselves.
Ah, okay. Well, it's part of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. We are taught to either squash it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Instead of accepting it as part of our intrinsic nature.
Right. And egotistically, we don't know that. So I think in that sense, the moon here represents that which we do not know on an egotistical
level. Well, we justify our anger.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's not so much feeling the anger, but it's the justification for the anger, the self-righteous kind of.
And how often do I say, you made me mad?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You didn't make
me
mad.
Right.
I'm mad at you, but you didn't make me mad. Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I think that some of that is not in the moon as much as it is in the emperor. Because, you know, the emperor is the lawgiver. And so he's the one that says, and of course it's set up here in air.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's also classically four again, which is the wands is completion four. And so here you have you have laws. In some ways you have laws that in a way, one of the things that we know about laws is laws aren't necessarily just. You know what I mean?
Right.
They aren't
legality and justice are not the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, of course, leads, and it very interestingly, to the whole issue that comes up here, which is, you know, what creates fear and trepidation and anger and all that stuff? Nine of Swords, cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That even in this so-called just world that we have, that there it tends to distort itself in a way that creates a lot of issues. And of course, the basic issue is the Seven of Discs. It doesn't work. You know, and basically what it's saying here, the way I would read the fifth here, the Hit Motivation Discs, is the ego doesn't work as a way of approaching the higher levels, the levels beyond the heart.
Well, actually, I'm not looking from the Rider-Waite deck. The guy has all these riches, and he's taking a roll, so to speak, leaning on his spade.
What card was that?
Seven of Discs.
Oh, okay, yes.
And Crowley calls it failure. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, we have much more breadth of interpretation. But assuming it's failure, what is his failure with all these riches, not using them properly?
Right, he's just looking at them. They're on the bush and not
So I think I saw something there where there was somebody had a bird and was sitting in the palm of a hand, and they said, "Well, what do you think that's worth?" He says, "I think it's worth two in a bush."
I saw that too. It's an ad. Yeah, it's definitely worth two in the bush. Yeah.
But then the in terms of future outcome, we have Dominion, the Two of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
another word for control.
Yeah.
Which I would have associated with the Emperor.
Right. So here
in terms of limitation, boundary, structure.
I don't know, though. I think the idea of dominion is more you have control over something. I don't think you necessarily have boundaries if you have dominion over something. It is your domain. It's yours. You know,
well, it might be one way to read it, which is to read it as the as dominion being, in the way they talk about yourself being in many one places.
Yeah.
You know, being both the shadow self and the unshadowed self, being all parts of one thing, being much and lots of things.
Yeah.
There is having sort of a pure potentiality of movement. Of course, it also deals still with the profound sense of shadowing that takes place.
Yeah, I think it also deals with the fact that we've gone through all of Gevurah in the first six cards here. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we've moved from completion through dominion. in the six cards. And the Dominion is, I've taken charge of my life. I've gone through all this stuff. I've gone through all this pain of the Gaborik experience, and I've come out the other side of it. I'm moving on the path of strength toward toward Hesed, toward loving kindness.
Well, actually, I think it has to do with you have dominion over your anger so that it doesn't hurt the world, it doesn't hurt others.
And it doesn't hurt you.
And you know, the arc of influence supports that too, David, because if you look, valor, virtue, and defeat, we have to accept all of that. We are, you know, valorous. We are virtuous. We will have defeats, but that only makes us stronger. You know, it adds to that sense of dominion.
And I also might also say that we could revalue defeat here, as ultimately what we're what is being defeated is this false sense of self.
Yeah. It's in not that we are being defeated.
This whole chapter. Is specifically dealing with a false sense of self. So ultimately, and so you could say that instead of it being defeat, you could see it as surrender.
And look at the image itself. In if you have the Thoth deck, it's inverted pentagram, what is usually thought of like a head of the Baphomet.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why are we dealing? Why does this deck and more and magicians? This is a big question. Have to work these concepts through imaginatively through the demonic. You know, we have the seven deadly virtues. We have the seven. With the seven deadly sins, the seven virtues throughout the Judeo-Christian world. Why step out of that paradigm into what is considered to be dangerous?
Because you have to face your shadow
to be a complete person. But you do face your shadow in the Judeo-Christian paradigms.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's all there. So the tools are all there. Why invent? I mean, it's another. What? But I don't understand actually the motivation.
Well, I think the motivation is because you want. It's more individualistic.
To leave one magical universe for another. I don't get it.
I think he's following his LSD trip that he obviously had on page 247.
David.
I think he's following that LSD trip that he obviously had.
That wasn't an LSD trip.
Well, it was something he had.
It was a visionary trip that he did when he was doing some magic.
Right. It was a personal imagery.
That sounds drug and dupes to me. I mean, it sounds certainly.
I can tell you from my own experience that these aren't necessarily drug and dupes.
Yeah, I could say that too.
My visionary experiences, my best and most solid visionary experiences, had nothing to do with my use of any form of psychedelic.
I totally believe that, because the imagination is a very powerful, and doesn't, as Dolly said, I don't need drugs, I am drugs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the imagination is a very powerful instrument.
I stand correct.
Okay, but I mean, it's important because, I mean, there are a lot of people around who really think that that turbocharging your imagination with psychedelics is a shortcut to working with this archetypal material. And to be honest with you, I don't think it is.
If it were, I don't know that what you would get, the results you would get, would be valid.
Yeah.
Shortcuts are often, the journey is
the process. Yes.
It's not getting there. It's not being there. It's getting there that is important.
Yep.
Right. And if you're taking shortcuts, you're missing out on what you really need to be experiencing.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. Hey, guys.
I remember way back in 1964, 65, stoned out of my gourd on LSD, having these kind of discussions with other people stoned out of their gourd on LSD, and I was arguing at that time that LSD was not the mystical end all.
I totally agree with you, Carl.
Yeah, I totally concur. Not that I didn't float away off into Never Neverland a little while later, but I didn't. I didn't expect it to be the.
I think sobered imagination is much a much greater high. I agree.
Yeah. But besides that, and now the other thing, Cynthia, is that it's true that the shadow is dealt with. You know, there's an interesting book that I alerted people to about a month ago. If you actually read these emails I send you, occasionally I
didn't get today's email, for instance.
Well, I sent it last night.
I know Johanna told me. I'm just letting you know it never came.
Huh.
I did receive it. But
well, I didn't have any of the things, but I did talk about a book called The Heart of the World by this... which is a book of angelic visions that this guy had in a gulag in the 40s and 50s. Finished it about 1958 when he wrote this book down.
What was the name of the gentleman?
Andreyev. He was it was his father.
Oh, I read it. I read the Heart of the World. I read it many times. Yes, it's a very complex system. Oh my gosh.
Well, okay, look at that. Now, that has demonic energies in it and all sorts of stuff, as well as angelic presence.
Is this the Rose of the World?
Yeah, that may be it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Rose of the World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So,
it's
yeah,
a beautiful document.
Well, I mean, what's his name? Robert Powell.
Yes.
In his lecture when he was here recently. I don't know, did anybody actually listen to that interview I did with him?
No, not
I
yet.
I haven't had a chance. I'm sorry. You know who did? Zoe. Zoe Matoff did. She did listen to it.
To think I was nuts? I don't know.
Well, we all think you're nuts, Paul, but that's okay. We like you anyway.
Yeah, right.
I thought you were terrific.
I tried to download it.
I tried to download it into an MP3 file. I can't do it.
Not even in iTunes? Did you try iTunes?
I don't know how to do that, Johanna.
Okay.
Go to iTunes and sign up for it and download it, and then you'll be able to do it.
Well, I have iTunes. Do it some other time. We don't have to do it on the call here.
No, okay.
All my MP3s go on iTunes.
Okay, someone's got to help David with iTunes. Okay?
Yeah.
So we have somebody helping David with iTunes, somebody helping me with psychic protection, and, you know, it's all sharing here, so, yeah.
It's all going to come up.
I wanted to share something with you guys. While we were talking here, I ran, what I call, ran the numbers on the spread. I did the numerology.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It adds up to 59, which, of course, reduces to 14, or temperance.
Right.
14,
yeah.
Or 5.
Yeah.
5, the number of the... But also the number of Gabora is 5.
Yeah, correct. And I thought that the temperance aspect of it, we're very, very
temperance, yes.
Here, you know. So, yeah, I thought that was...
I must tell you, I was distracted a bit because I am knowing printing... and thinking of old time printing, red reproduces as black.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, wow.
Oh my God! I just wrote a poem about how at night red is so hard to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
And here I am going. I'm looking at this, and part of my brain's going over. How did they do that? Now let me see. And of course now it's digitally printed, it's totally different than the old printing methods, but I'm still going crazy here. Okay, sorry about that diversion.
Probably when they did do this, those digital printing methods that weren't totally in vogue yet. This was done about the year 2000.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like red becomes black in reproduction, so it has to be a lighter. It has to have a lot of yellow in it. to...
It is very orange. Mm-hmm. It's a very orangey
red, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And two, well, this spread, there's no court cards in it.
No.
No courts, just, it's very interesting.
It's like a non-personal spread. It applies to everyone, regardless. It's a very universal
and it's
reminder.
Kind of anchored a little bit, too, by those two majors where they are in the spread. They're dead center, you know, dead center of the spread. And that's, it's like everything else is swirling around it. So,
Well, the Asmodeus spider, you might say, was also, you might also see as a confrontation with these of these women with their animus. You know, it represents the masculine side of themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not necessarily their demons. I mean, your animus and anima are not your demons.
They can be.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so can, you know, the self you walk around with every day. Obviously, we do a lot of damage in this world to each other and to the planet.
But some of that may be that we are. I was reading Mary Greer's, 21 Ways to Read a Tarot Card, which is a nice summary. She has a summary in there of the mythical or Jungian ways of doing things. Several of her, I think it was number 19.
Well, I have a question about that, but go ahead, Paul.
If you read through that and read through what she says, one of the things she does is she goes through a nice long list of the
myths and archetypes.
Of the archetypes, yeah. Of the myths and archetypes. And it's nice. She did a nice job. I really appreciated it. In fact, that thing I threw on Facebook the other day was, you know, where I said that Mary Greer and Rachel were my tarot guru, and and Paul Hughes Barrow was my what do they call him? And my acharya. An acharya is a preceptor. He gives you the sort of recipe aspects of what you need to know for understanding things, but he doesn't necessarily have the wisdom of a guru.
Last night I had a strange dream that I just remembered when you said that.
Okay.
I dreamt, why are the majors archetypes when their paths, their roads we travel on, the Tree of Life?
Mm-hmm.
And the numbered or so-called minors are within the Sephiroth themselves.
Maybe it's because the journey is the important thing.
And you're saying the Sephiroth are like the waylay stations?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
Well, but
anybody else?
You should see them. They're like jewels. They're like, yeah, they are like stations.
Well,
the Sephiroth
are the jewels, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I may make a little analogy here, you know, you don't have a necklace without the thread or the chain connecting the jewels.
Right.
Right, but the chain is not considered... Oh, I see. The jewel would be, separate from the chain.
Mm-hmm.
But ignore the chain at your peril, because if it breaks, the whole thing
then
goes.
You lose your jewels.
You lose your jewel.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Well, actually, but they also represent two sides of the unity. In fact, there was a philosopher, I forget his name right now, who came up with a two words for unity because of this difference. And the difference has one to do with the linking aspect, which you could say is the path aspect. And then the other one is the... You could say is the weaving aspect of the, which is not linking, but rather is, a back referential. So you have a linking and this other form, and they, both of which are like the yin and yang of unity. And if you can't take one away from the other, you know.
I'm sorry. I need a little more. If the majors are the journey itself, yet the minors reflect our actual experiences. So our experiences, therefore, are not the journey, but the attitude with which we handle the experiences.
Or the lessons that we learn along with
mm-hmm.
them.
Okay. Lessons of the minors.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Or how we handle situations, or the
yeah.
even the choices we have to make.
My mom used to say, what happens to you doesn't matter. It's how you handle what happens.
Oh, my God.
You
know? I can't tell you how many times I've said that to my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My now grown kids. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all basically, some of our lives are our choices.
And, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you guys. Frankly, I believe that the very life we were born into was a choice we made before birth. I mean, I know that you know,
mm-hmm.
might not jive with what everybody else believes, but...
No, that seems to be more and more coming into the general population's
yeah.
acceptance of things.
My sister
yeah.
and I are absolutely, utterly, completely convinced, and believe me, our parents were the most staid and quote-unquote normal of people. I don't know where all this woo-woo stuff came from in my sister and me, but we are convinced that we chose each other to be
mm-hmm.
sisters in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in either of our minds.
So. Well, it may have come that stuff was so repressed in your parents that you had to bring it out as a balance. So
yeah.
you're not only doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for your whole family.
But you know something? I have to share this. Having said that now, I just had an epiphany the other day. I am almost 60 years old. My father has been dead for 10 years, right? The other day, all of a sudden, it was like somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Ah, but Mary Beth, your father was a Mason. He was a 32nd degree Mason."
Mm.
There was something there, but he just didn't share it, you know?
Well, he wasn't allowed to, in
yeah.
theory.
Yeah.
Well, he was part of the World War II generation, right?
Yeah. Well, a little bit younger. Yeah. He
yeah.
was born in 31, yeah.
So he was didn't quite get in the war.
Right.
Yeah.
My dad is 90, and he was a Knight of Pythias.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't discuss any of that.
Yeah.
And he would, I mean, socially, he just mocks everything that, you know, has the slightest woo-woo. I don't even discuss anything like
yeah.
that with him. He's had a few experiences that he'll acknowledge, but always his experience he will acknowledge, but not yours.
Right.
So that's just not to go there.
Yeah, my psychotic experiences are true and valid, and yours are crazy.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right,
yeah.
right. Now, you said the Tarot of Masters, James Rickloff. I have that. I don't use that deck. But instead of devil, he has demons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's very interesting. I like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't like that, but I get it.
Right.
I begrudgingly accept that.
And you know, in the Gaian Tarot, she has bindweed as the devil card 15.
Oh yes,
bindweed
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've, but also Kudzal would be good.
Yes, exactly.
Bindweed up here, Kudzal in the south.
In the south, exactly.
Well, actually,
what is bindweed?
Bindweed is basically it's like a vining trailing.
It's a wild morning glory.
It just grows all over everything. It will spread like.
Yep, for 25 years, I've been going after it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. My parents' house, we've had to fight off the lilac bushes that way.
Oh, wow. Now, see,
I
wouldn't be fighting that.
I know, but they spread into other people's lawns
yeah.
and the sea. I don't know how it happened, but it's weird. Yeah, I get it.
A
okay.
lot of plants are very invasive.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah.
about my,
yeah.
I have a wisteria. Forget it. Oh.
I'm sorry, it was Wisteria. I beg your pardon.
Oh, it was Wisteria. Okay, Wisteriaism.
I stand corrected.
Yep.
Well, I think vining plants tend to, I mean, that's their nature. You know, they wrap themselves around other things, and that's how they get from here to there, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I thought that was a very good card for the devil. Bindweed.
I've been using, in some of my readings, I've been doing poems based on tarot spreads. And I take three cards, and then I take out decks that I've never used before, like the herbal tarot, the flower tarot, colors, the orthoba color tarot, and so on. And I sort of, I ask the spread, what is the poem for today? And then I just go with it.
That is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do.
I've been on such a roll, it's been wonderful.
Wow. You should share some of them with us if you feel like it.
Okay, all right. Okay, sure.
As a poet myself, I would love to see them.
Okay, you wouldn't know that I did a spread. I don't make that apparent in the poem.
That doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I wouldn't expect that.
Okay, sure. I would love to.
Yeah.
I did a blog a few months back on divination. And I decided that I'm going to try to turn it into an essay that's going to go in one of the tarot professional anthologies.
Cool.
I'm probably trying to finish it up at the end of the year after my sojourn to San Francisco.
Are you going to Bats, Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Bats.
I was going to go, and then it just didn't work out for me to go this year, so.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I've got Marie White and Michael White will be there.
Okay, you're going to have a wonderful time. I was listening to the Tarot Connection. I could only listen to a tiny bit. They were talking about certification, and Palazzo just went for it. And I so appreciated it.
Palazzo Raptor was on the prowl.
Yeah. Oh, man. But she spoke very well. She addressed the issue very well.
As did
they all.
Certifying whom?
Pardon me?
In terms of who's certifying whom?
In terms of the concept of Tarot being certified.
I don't think she likes that idea.
I think she'd not. I think she knocked me.
Well, I don't.
She's in my school.
I find the idea repugnant. And for a variety of reasons.
Right.
We don't need a bunch of people hiding behind degrees. Look what damage certification does to things like psychotherapy.
Yeah. That's exactly the point she was bringing up. Someone was bringing up in the conversation.
Yeah.
The abuse taken because.
Yeah.
And I'm going for certification. I'm a Kaizen Youth Creativity Coach, and I'm completing my certification process. You know, unfortunately, you need some sort of, you have a divinity degree, and so on and so forth, many of you. You know, I can put MA after my name. I have my master's degree and then some. But I'm accepting of that, but I'm not accepting of it in context of the tarot. And they make a wonderful explanation. I think the big one was, that's not why people come to us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They went outside that realm.
They're not looking for science.
They've been there already.
Exactly.
Right.
They've been there already.
Yeah. It failed for them, and on to this. Yeah. Yeah.
Was this on the Tarot Connection with Lisa Rafallo?
It's their 100th podcast celebration.
Oh. Doing that, okay.
Yeah. And okay. I didn't have a chance to listen to all of it.
But I think there was some feedback on that.
Oh, maybe.
Because on Facebook, one thing in which I don't know Facebook is that it's all... She posted that she was, in a tither Thalassa.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like coming into a conversation, you know what I'm saying? I said, tither about what? What's the tither? I don't know what's going on here.
You know what?
I found
that is true of Thalassa for on a lot of levels.
What's the subject?
I think what Lisa said at the beginning of the podcast was the same group from podcast number 99.
Okay.
So perhaps it was a continuation of a conversation.
So we were coming in the middle of a conversation.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not. I can't speak to that. But
you have to remember that there's a lot of people who make their money in the tarot field by giving certification.
I know. But I mean, who certified them to certify us? Well,
you know, that's one thing that I'm so grateful to the Reader Studio for.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense that I will sit next to someone who says, oh, I'm a newbie, and get the most profound reading.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I just, I have the opportunity to say, you know, you are so good.
Yeah.
And to be able to be a positive presence for them.
Yeah.
And that's an honor. You know, I have no further thing to say on the subject. I'm done.
Right. Now, do I want a certificate for every class that I attend? Yeah, you know. I love getting those certificates. And so,
Not saying it isn't
But I mean,
fun.
Do I need, to be officially declared tarot sane by somebody?
But it is it's not necessarily certifying you.
Gareth Knight.
It is just it's certifying that I am continuing my study of the tarot.
Correct.
I think it's much more important that we all create flamboyant tarot costumes that we wear.
I agree.
Okay.
I need a big headdress.
Right.
Mask. I need flowing, fluffy shirts, you know, with frills on them. And,
I mean, we came close to that at Reader Studio this year with dressing as our favorite card, but I don't know.
But Jung makes the point that, for instance, gifted tarotists, gifted psychoanalysts, gifted artists, once you reach the point of confidence in your work, it's no longer necessary to dress with the trappings.
Yeah, yeah.
You can walk as an ordinary human being in your culture.
That's what Gareth Knight told me. Gareth Knight said...
I believe that.
Yeah, Gareth Knight told me that you will never... That's not his real name.
Uh-huh.
He says.
That's his made up name.
His made up name, yes.
Yeah.
And he says, anyone work their while in the magical field, you will never know who they are.
Yeah.
That I believe is true.
You will never know who they are. They don't go by their names. They don't have. I mean, the ones who aren't. Dabble in the periphery to make a living, but you still will not know their name.
Yeah. That's because it's a very personal thing.
It's also a sign of a little bit of humility.
Yeah, it has to be approached humbly. You have to have a non-ego. The ego has to be set aside, especially in those who work in the Inner Light, the Dionne Fortune tradition. That wasn't her real name either, Dionne Fortune.
Again.
Yeah.
Dionne Fortune keeps popping up for me over the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I never heard of Dionne Fortune.
And really?
For the film.
You will learn a lot from her novels. If you can.
Yeah, I'm reading one of her novels right now. I'm reading The Sea Priestess, which is her first one. And, it's quite eye-opening. Yeah.
Oh, I love The Secrets of Dr. Taverner.
That was wonderful.
Dr. Taverner is truly Israel Rigardi. He was the real Dr. Taverner.
Okay.
Yeah, Israel Rigardi, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm back to the same question. Is the magician working with Tikkun, in other words, to repair the shells, to turn these, like Asmodeus and so on, into a positive rather than a negative? Is that the work?
Well, the whole issue of the quibble, the shadow tree. The easiest way to look at it analogically is, you know, worn out stuff that doesn't work for you anymore. You know, it's sort of like, you know, maybe the religion of your childhood, which has a formality and a falsity to it that just won't hang together, they become empty shells, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at a deeper level, the whole world is full of empty shells, you know. And what's fascinating is, for instance, you know, as coming out of a Christian tradition, and you know, you go and you find that everything there seems to have lost its meaning because of the way it's been formalized.
The church.
You ignore it. You go to Buddhism, and you look into Buddhism, and you see how it all works, and it seems all vibrant and alive. And yet, if you talk to Buddhists, it's dead to them. And Christianity is something that's alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so in some ways, it has to do with sort of the
grass is
the
always lure greener on the other side.
It is. It's the grass is greener effect.
Well,
now,
and I think I've used this quote here before, but it's apt. I don't know who discovered water, but I'll bet it wasn't a fish. Sometimes you have to get out of your very familiar environment to really see things for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe flying fish were the first fish to figure out they were going into water.
Maybe they were. Exactly. So, I don't even know who said that originally, but I heard that years ago, and I've used it in a lot of contexts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good one.
Yeah.
I love quotes. I'm writing that one down.
Yeah.
That's...
But the issue of the of course, the other thing of the issue of the shadow is that our egoic shadow, or the reflected light shadow, which is our ego, reflected light is a shadow of, is the shadow of light. It isn't the original light.
Right.
And it's a pure white light kind of thing. And one of the things that's going to happen with as we move into these higher planes is we're going to become, the imagery is going to become more and more strange, because the imagery is suggesting non-egoic, non-embodied realities. And though we can understand them symbolically as when we have a sense of being embodied, their own reality is utterly alien, and to know them as they are in themselves means that we have to abandon much of what we think is normal and usual and regular, including our sense of time and space.
When Alan Moore was describing Asmodeus as the demon of mathematics, the giver of mathematics,
right,
and fright and flight, I kept thinking, as I usually do,
and also embroidery. Remember embroidery.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and embroidery.
Handicrafts.
Oh, okay. Embroidery and handicrafts. I'm a big knitter too. At any rate. Worse than math, but I knit. At any rate, my thought was to... Is that what this magical issue of the demons is about?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Because the what's the pivot for the whole fallen angel myth? There's one word... What's the one word? What's the
light?
No, pride.
Pride. Pride precedes the fall. Yeah.
Pride
precedes. Okay.
You know, in other words, you know, if you take all the 70 deadly sins and wrap them into one, it's pride. That's the
hubris is a good one with the Greek mythology too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But hubris.
This is part of pride. Yeah.
That. Well, no, it was taking on the mantle of a god in with the form of a human. So So, in other words, so it lacked the humility. In other words, because you're human, you're humble. The reason you're humble is because you're of the earth. Humus. Mm-hmm. Humus means mm-hmm. humility and earth-like are similar. So the natural quality of earth is humility. You know, it accepts everything.
Well, has anyone ever read or sat through a Passover Seder?
Oh, yes, many times. Yeah.
If you really listen to those words,
yeah,
they're like, oh, great, you know, da-da-da-da. I mean, like, oh, pounding their shirts, wearing a hair shirt, pounding their chest, wearing a hair shirt. It is so like, please, oh, great God, who led us out of Egypt, do not harm us any further. Please help us in our quest, you know. It was really, I was taken aback because I really never...
Haggadah, it's called the Haggadah mm-hmm. that is read. And the Haggadah from let's say, Persia is different than the Haggadah from Spain. It's different than the Haggadah from Greece.
Really?
It's different from, yes.
There's dozens of Haggadahs,
right? Yes, there's many.
It's a cottage industry to make various forms of Haggadahs.
Haggadahs are
feminist
us. Haggadah.
Yes,
like the Bible, right,
there's
Paul?
Gay Haggadah, Bible. You know, there's the unreformed pagan Haggadah. Mm.
Right. Right, there's all kinds of Haggadahs, just like there's all kinds of Bibles, and yada,
yeah.
yada, yada.
Exactly.
At any rate, my point is, yes, but there's also a great deal of praise.
Yeah.
But you make an interesting point from the version that you've been, you know, have read at Passover, Johanna, in that there is this tremendous element of fear and trembling before God.
Right.
And fear of what we would call the befalling of a terrible evil upon mankind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Also, talk about humility. I watched 60 Minutes. I taped 60 Minutes. And the first... the first Christian church in Turkey, the first established church itself of all Christendom was in Turkey. And
Constantinople.
And it was the patriarch there is such a humble human being, exactly opposite than the Roman church.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so different.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
but
different.
That happens to be a characteristic of that person.
No, no. Even the formulation of the church itself. I mean, I said if I was to redo my Christianity, I would go to that church.
What is that church called? What is that faith called?
It's Orthodox Christianity.
Orthodox. Yeah.
No, there's Greek Orthodox.
No, it's the Church of Constantinople in Turkey.
Okay.
It's the Orthodox Christian Church. It's not. I don't know whether it didn't. They didn't say Greek Orthodox.
Don't they call it
no, they're not
Orthodox.
Greek. The Turks had never allowed Greek.
Orthodox. Yeah. Right. Exactly. They hate each other.
Isn't it called the Eastern Church? The
Eastern Orthodox Church.
There's a number of very small Orthodox churches.
I'm surprised they're allowed to exist in Turkey at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they had several.
The Turks were very tolerant of Jews and Christians. And it's only been recently with this Wahhabi rise, which has not only given us terrorist groups, but has also given us intolerance to various forms of religion that were historically allowed, including forms of Islam that have...
I think Turkey is the silent, seething power behind much of what's going on in the name of Muslim world.
It's definitely infected with a form of Islamicism, but it's not the power. The power is Saudi Arabia. They're the ones that are funding all these missions and these schools that are only teaching the kids to memorize the Quran and aren't teaching them anything else.
Yeah, and Bush is holding the hands of the guy from Saudi Arabia, practically kissing him. Or maybe they do kiss, little I know.
Yeah. They're funding it with our money every time we go to the gas pump. Imagine that.
So before we, but one of the things that I think is important to consider in a very humble way is this whole issue of demonizing.
Yeah, good point, Paul.
And
would you do that for us?
Huh?
You do that for us, please.
We turn to you, oh great Paul.
Yes, oh great Paul. Please tell us
because my demons are on my sleeve, that's why. Right?
That's right.
That was a very interesting demon they talked about in the book here. It was Vepar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, for example, you cause turbulence, you kill men cruelly, it says. And today on Comcast, it says a new superbug is spreading. A new superbug could spread around the world, and scientists say there's almost no drugs to treat it. And Vepar is the demon that causes pustules and sores and worms.
Oh, wow.
In the being. And I think it's a very interesting synchronicity here that this thing is on the news right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that's been breeding in our hospitals and has to do. It's a super bug that is resistant to all known
I thought it was a computer virus that you're talking about.
Hmm?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about a computer virus or a virus?
Oh, a virus.
A biological virus.
Yeah, biological.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's not a virus, actually. It's a bacterial infection.
It's spreading from India.
It's deadly, and it's mainly in hospitals.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay. Now, this is, I think, different. I think different than the virus in the hospitals, which is the, it's the one that the flesh-eating virus that you're talking about.
Please, I'm so grossed out. I had a hairdresser, a colorist, whose sister, at the age of 30, died of that in Florida.
Of what, MRSA?
MRSA,
yeah,
right.
Flesh-eating disease. She was gone in a very, poor girl, a baby.
Yeah.
It's it is scary when you think about it. Thank you.
MRSA, it's called NDM-1, and it says it will spread worldwide.
Yeah, wow.
It says India also provides cosmetic surgery for other Europeans and Americans, and it's going through cosmetic surgery.
Oh, I got it right here. New superbug underscores need to spur antibiotic research.
One of the things they've done is all the big pharmaceutical companies have stopped doing research in antibiotics because they weren't making enough money from them.
Right.
And which is, a very, very, if you have your health thing totally driven by market forces, which is kind of the way we've restructured our healthcare in this society, what happens is that, things that are necessary for our health, such as research and development of many faceted forms of antibiotics, haven't been developed. We're right. Decades behind in terms.
I don't mean to be glib, but we watch two shows, Warehouse 13 and Rubicon. And sometimes during those shows, and sometimes just watching the news, whatever channel you may be on, I don't care what it is, we used to see a lot of Tampax and menstruation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff. And now we're seeing testosterone boosters.
Yes.
And things for men. And obviously, left to the drug companies' devices, they do polls. What are people worried about? And these are the things through our lifetime that have taken priority. They're on television.
And the reason for that, though, it's kind of a catch-22. Part of the reason for that is because people haven't had to worry, in this country at least, in the Western world, so much about things like polio, smallpox. We've eradicated, quote-unquote, these things, and we don't have to worry about it anymore, so we're left to worry about
other things. My mother spent our youth worrying about polio. I'm 60, I was born in 47, I'm 63, I hate to admit, And, you know, we got all these vaccinations and also through our schools.
Yeah.
Right. We did too.
And was a little girl in my neighborhood who came down with polio.
Mm-hmm.
And polio was a terrible.
Heck, a couple of my playmates had polio, for Christ's sakes.
But
and
look at it
I'm
now. Does anybody worry about it now with their kids? No.
No.
It's gone.
No,
you know, polio, tuberculosis,
polio is not. Polio is not gone.
Oh, no, it
polio,
is.
Polio
I'm talking
is
about
gone.
In our
tuberculosis is not gone.
No, it isn't. It's coming back. But the reason it's coming back is because we haven't been paying attention to it because we thought it was gone.
Well, people aren't getting the vaccine. They're not vaccinating their kids.
Exactly.
You could not come into this country unless you were healthy.
Right.
Now with airplanes and things, you know, you could be carrying a virus. In fact, my brother-in-law goes to Japan a lot, and someone was coughing. This was when the swine flu scare.
I do want to point out, folks, that one of the things we are doing in this conversation is we are creating a form of demonization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
yes,
are.
Correct.
One of the lessons of this thing was a way of not demonizing. And I guess one
Paul, in truth, we're all aware that we brought smallpox to Northern America.
Yeah.
We are aware that, you know, by any immigration of people or any visitation of one echo environment to another, there's going to be these issues. So I don't think it's so much demonization. I think it's, you know, just the fact. And they would have plenty to say about us, too.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, the way it is.
Well, it's the way it is, but how did Asmodeus change when we changed our attitude?
He became docile.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about this in conversation is angry or projection or, I mean, it's the truth.
But well, we're seeing it as the enemy. We're seeing it as the enemy. Whereas if you're a responsible person, you would say, well, I know these things are in this world. I will do the best to make sure that I am a healthy person so I could combat it.
Right.
That's the only thing you can do. You take your vitamins, you make sure that you keep a healthy life. It's like when a smoker comes down with
lung cancer,
and then they don't accept it and they still smoke, or they don't even hear the message, please stop smoking.
And you know
that's a form of demonization too, because there isn't a person here that doesn't have something that they're weak in terms of the way they physically care for themselves.
Yep, like food.
Including myself, including everyone, and including everyone you know. I mean, that's just carte blanche.
Well, that's why the demons became human. Because once you accept it, you understand that there is a price to pay.
On terra firma. That's called living a life.
Yeah, okay. So
that's what we're here for.
Nobody is exempt from, becoming ill or for lousy lifestyle issues.
Making poor choices.
The fact of the matter was is that one of the things that we learned from this chapter, or maybe what we're learning from this chapter, is our attitude is, well, okay, you know, I'm overweight, I may get a heart attack. There's a higher degree possibility to get a heart attack. You still sort of have an even keel. You know, something's going to do you in eventually anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have
none of us get out of this alive, yeah.
You know, you don't create magical thinking, well, you know, if
it doesn't matter
that I eat 5 meals a day, you know?
You know, my next door neighbor was the most fit man in the world. He played tennis 3 times a week, he was skinny, he was tall, He was gorgeous. He was in his 40s. He went to his doctor. He had his physical. He came out A-OK. He dropped dead the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing happened to Jim Fix, the runner.
Right.
You know, the thing is that, you know, we don't know.
And in some ways
you don't know. And part of the respect you have for Asmodeus is so that you don't get reactive stuff going. It's just treat it with some respect. The same way with this, you know, issues of disease that can come and so forth.
Arm yourself the best you can against it, and then you carry on, you know.